Yes. We're strong through him. That's right on time. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. Good. Anybody else? It's all good, you guys. And it's important for us to rehearse what he's speaking to us. Go ahead, Bob. Did you say?
I'm just agreeing with you.
Amen. I love that. Pastor Sherry shared two verses with us this morning. Then I pray to you, O Lord. I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. And isn't that it? Isn't that true? And then verse 7. So bring me out of this dungeon so I can declare your praise. How many were in any dungeon today, this morning? Anybody feeling down, feeling a little blue, feeling a little discouraged, feeling not as healthy as you would like? So sometimes we feel like we're in a dungeon, and the psalmist says, bring me out of this dungeon so I can declare your praise. All your godly lovers will celebrate. Am I a little loud for you this morning? We'll celebrate. Thank you. We'll celebrate all the wonderful things you've done for me. Hasn't he done wonderful things? I'd like you to turn to each other in groups of two or three, and I want you to take just a couple of minutes, and I want you to share something quick about some of the wonderful things he's done for you. If you don't have anybody sitting right by you, just join yourself to somebody else. What has he done for you that's so wonderful? Just quickly share. Now, let me tell you what you're doing. Are you ready? What you're doing, this isn't necessarily part of the message yet, but what you're doing is one of the most vital keys to mental health. What you're doing is remembering and sharing what Jesus has done for you. It is essential that we let the heart, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is essential that we let coming out of our mouth be the praise and worship Jesus deserves and receives from us. And it's essential for us to remember what he's done. Isn't that true? Come on, a real practical lesson in vital mental health today. When you're feeling down, it doesn't mean you can't share that you have a need or a prayer concern with somebody. But remember, once you've done that, what does the Bible say? When you make your prayers with thanksgiving, make your request to God. With thanksgiving, what's that have to do with it? Remembering all that he's done, and he'll do it again. Come on, remembering what he's done, and he'll do it again. How many of you, having shared with each other what he's done for you something this morning, feel stronger having shared it? Isn't it true? Keys to mental health. Laura.
See, this doesn't seem like much, I don't think. But this morning, when I got up, I could not take my finger and close my pen. And after we had prayer.
Praise God. That's a big deal. That's great. It's great. The oil of anointing came on you and lubricated it all.
Amen.
It's great. That's how God does things. Isn't it powerful? Amen. This morning, I want to talk about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And you've just done, I'm going to repeat purposely, one of the most essential things to recognizing you have what the Bible says, the mind of Christ. One of the most important ways to keep your mind of Christ tuned up is to praise Him and worship Him. To give Him praise, to remember what He's done. Absolutely fantastic opening, Pastor Sherry. I loved your verses this morning, which is why, of course, I've just repeated them. But it's so good. Bring me out of this dungeon. You're my place of refuge. You're all I really want in life. Bring me out of this dungeon. Why? Why do I want to come out of the dungeon? What's He say? So I can declare your praise. I'm not going to let any dungeon hold me back from praising God. I'm going to have the mind of Christ and declare the praises to Jesus. All your godly lovers, how many in this room are a godly lover? You're a godly lover of God. All your godly lovers will celebrate all the wonderful things you've done for me. Now, there might be a lot of people who don't know Jesus that you can share those good things you've just shared with each other all day long. And they might only look at you confused. It's still important to share. But around here, when you have brothers and sisters and a family and God that loves you, you can share these things and all those godly lovers are going to celebrate those good things God has done for you, right? Turn to each other and say, hi, celebrator. I want you to see a picture. Just before He went to the cross, they platted a crown of thorns on Jesus' head. That's what it says in the King James. But literally in the Greek word literally means they slammed and crammed the spikes, which were about this long, into the skull of Jesus. He had those crowns of thorns, the crown of thorns on Him. They pierced His skull. It was an attack from the devil against His mind. The Bible says, hold fast the head. The governmental authority in the body of Christ is the head, Amen. Who is Jesus. And if He can attack the head, the body dies. Now, in a few weeks, or over the next few weeks, I'm going to be talking about the spiritual armor of the Lord. We are the army of the Lord. You can have peace all day long, and we do, and should have peace all day long. But the Bible says we're the army of the Lord. And we're engaged in spiritual warfare. And we're taking this land for the glory of Jesus. Amen? Amen. But He says to wear what? The helmet of salvation. Lined with leather inside and metal outside. It would go down upon the back of the neck and be there because there was in that day not a sword that could slam against that. Now, that would hurt, but it couldn't penetrate it. And the Lord is trying to tell us there may be injuries to your body, limbs that may be cut, things could happen, but protect the head. Protect the head. And the only time they put that helmet on was when they were ready to go into battle. They didn't wear them all the rest of the time, but when they were in battle, the helmet was on. And He says, all the time, have on the helmet of salvation. What are you doing? You're rehearsing and you're reminding yourself that you have the mind of Christ. If the crowns could pierce the skull, if the devil could take you out, by penetrating your mind. I want to ask you an honest question. Have you ever been walking down the street or sitting at your home, sitting in the car, no matter where, and all of a sudden these piercing, penetrating, ugly thoughts come in? Yeah. whether they're tempting thoughts to do something really unbecoming or, let's just say it, ungodly, wicked, or whether it's an ugly attitude toward your spouse or toward your friends or toward your family. Listen, there may be problems between some of those, with some of those folks, but what do? Are we to just give ourselves to ugly thoughts? No, that's what leads to murder and mayhem. What we're to do, if there's a problem, is usher them into prayer. And we seek God and we call out to God for a ministry of reconciliation and healing, and that God will do what he needs to do. But those ugly thoughts, those dividing thoughts, those wicked thoughts, let me ask you, church, from whom do they come? The devil. So you put on the helmet of salvation. You protect this thing. Because, look at each other and finish the phrase for me. You have? You have, you have, you have, you have. Say it about yourself. I have the mind of Christ. When your mind starts to wander and when you have difficulty, you begin to quote to yourself the Word of God. I have the mind of Christ. Come on, say it with me. I have the mind of Christ. Pat, let's skip those next three slides. I have the mind of Christ. That affects your beliefs, your attitudes. As you believe, so you live. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. It affects your thoughts, your attitudes, the government of your life. And he says in the Word, I want you to protect that. Church, now come on. That's why you want to say no to all the junk and yes to him and his Word.
Amen.
I'm not going to have Pat show it, but one of the things I was going to talk about was the fact that we are literally bombarded by 5,000 to 10,000 advertisements, messages, labels per day. Per day. And the only way we can keep our sanity is to choose what we listen to and let in. And I'm saying to you, keep your mind, the mind of Christ, sharp. Don't go to the junk movies. Don't turn them on your TV. Don't look at the junk magazine. Don't go to pornography, men and women. Turn against it and say no. You can find it in your libraries nowadays. You can find it on your phone, on your tablet. You can see it without even wanting to. And if you get ensnared by it, that's when, we've talked the last couple of weeks, you end up in a cave, dead like Lazarus with a stone rolled across, because we don't want anybody to see that junk. And Jesus says, whoever your name is, come forth. Remove that bandage. Be delivered and be healed. Sometimes it means you got to bring it to the light and get prayer. But don't let your mind go there. Amen?
Amen.
We used to have a plaque or a poster that we would give to people who traveled a lot to put in front of their TV. And it was a quoting of the verse, I will let no unclean thing come before my eyes. To help keep them strong and full of rejoicing. I have, say it with me, the mind of Christ. How do we hold on to sanity? The reality is you have to, what's the word? Choose. You have to choose. Choose what you listen to. Open up what you listen to, what you allow in. You make a choice for what kind of discussion you have casually in life. You make a choice for what you perceive to be right. And people all around us are doing what's right in their own eyes. And church, what's right in their own eyes doesn't make it right. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Yeah, a lamp unto my feet. That's good. There's lots of verses we can quote. I thought I better rush forward and finish that. But thy word is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So if you're going into junk stuff, junk in, junk out. Word in, word out. What do you want to hold on to? I want to keep the mind of Christ sharp and quick and alive in me. And today we're in a day where it's, oh, it's your truth and my truth, and it's all truth. Don't you dare believe it. It's not true. There is an objective standard for life. There is a moral compass in life. There is a reality in life. And it's called the Bible. Oh, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. I thought you'd all finish. Sing in with me. The Bible. Oh, the Bible. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The Bible. Little old fashioned, but still rings true, doesn't it? There's the word of truth. What are we going to give ourselves to? So as we surrender to Jesus, and as we're transformed into his image, we put on his robes of righteousness. That's what the Bible says. We can't get there on our own, so our lives are transformed as we give our lives to Jesus. But he keeps changing us. He saves us by his grace. We walk with him by grace. We make choice by grace. How do you hold on to your sanity? Say it with me. I make the right choice for Jesus and his word. And we encourage each other. We make choice by his grace to walk with him. Now, you are engaged in a war for your soul. Make no bones about it. I've had people in a long time ago, especially not as much recently, but you have people every now and then say things like, all I want is peace. Don't bother me with this war stuff. I don't want any of this war stuff. What are you talking about? When you're saved, when you give your life to Jesus, you sign up as a soldier for Christ to learn, grow, and be what he wants you to be and wage warfare and kick the devil out. Someone say amen.
Amen.
The devil walks around, the Bible says, as a roaring lion. You know what that means? He makes a loud bunch of noise at you. Come on, you belong here. Oh, you're not redeemed. You're not so good. Oh, you should go to... He makes a loud bunch of noise. And he looks to devour, the Bible says, who he can. But guess what? Jesus defeated him at the cross. Come on, Jesus defeated him at the cross. Jesus wore the throne of crowns, so you don't have to. So I don't have to. He wore it. So I'm going to be serious with you now. I really mean this. So if you're walking down the road, if you're sitting in your car, if you're sitting in your house, and those wicked thoughts come, you need to proclaim, I have the mind of Christ. The blood of Jesus is in me and on me. Get out in Jesus' name. I want you to do something with me right now. I want you to practice with me. I want you to take your hands. Come on, raise your hands. I want you to lay them on your head. And I want you to say, I have the mind of Christ. Lord, I thank you that my mind is cleansed. I receive the blood of Jesus now. Covering my conscience and subconscious. I believe you've redeemed me by grace. And I have the mind of Christ. It's easy to do. And you've just given yourself tremendous victory today over the junk that wants to come and take you down the wrong road. It doesn't have to be complex to help you establish victory. Amen? You're engaged in a war for your soul. The devil wants to engage you and neutralize you. What does that mean? He wants to throw enough junk your way so you don't feel like you've got what it takes to help anybody, much less yourself. He wants to neutralize you, make you of no effect or of little effect. And you're the tip of the sword by the grace of God. He is thrusting you forward into this earth to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He wants you to reach into people's lives with the word of the Lord and a quickened word in your spirit to help and pray and help lead people to Him. The devil wants to neutralize you. And when we're exhausted and we're down, too busy to pray, too busy to share, we aren't as sharp as we should be to help others who need Jesus. But we realize, come on, church, Jesus already won the war. Positionally, we have the victory. Practically, we're still establishing it in our own lives. A lot of people lost their lives on D-Day. But the beachhead was established and the victory came. Jesus established the victory on the cross of Calvary and in His resurrection. But you and I get to walk it out and say, okay, I believe You've done this for me. Watch the word. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Turn in your Bible to that verse, if you would please, those verses. 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 3 through 5. Now, I've got parts of it and pieces up here. I'm going to read a verse that's not up there right now. It's from the New American Standard. Verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. I've got quite a bit of scripture to go over with you because our victory is in remembering the Word of God, and it's the Word that shows us what Jesus has done. New American Standard. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but divinely powerful, listen to this, for the destruction of fortresses. Strongholds, fortresses. What the devil wants to do is establish a beachhead in your head and mine. And we don't let him. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And listen to this out of the New American. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Out of the NIV. The weapons we fight with, and this is all up here, are not of the flesh, but divinely. I'm on the wrong one. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power, listen, to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How do you do that, Pastor Keith? You receive the grace of God, you repent from going into the wrong fields, and you then put back on the helmet of salvation. You receive His cleansing blood, and you declare, I have the mind of Christ. And when the stuff comes at you and the thorns come cramming down on your head, you say, I reject that in the name of Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. Say it with me again. I have the mind of Christ. Watch Ephesians 6, verses 6 through 18, or 10 through 18. I'm going to read a whole section of scripture here. And I've only got 17 and 18 up there. Listen to verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians 6. And you can turn there in your own Bibles. If you have your tablet or your phone, whatever your scriptures are on, please see it in your own word. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. To stand against what? The tricky deceiving of the devil. I want you to write down, if you have anything to write on this morning, I want you to write down this section of Scripture. And in the next week, I want you to give yourself to a study or looking and reading and reviewing this set of Scriptures. Because when we get together on Wednesday at Grace Gathering, we want to take the first 10 to 15 minutes and talk about the Word of God and what the Lord has been saying to you as we gather together. How many realize God's got something to say to us on Sunday morning when we gather? And we don't want to let that Word fall to the ground. So I want you to give yourself to looking into this set of Scripture. And when we get together on Wednesday, those who come, you're all invited. But if we come together, let's take our first 10, 15 minutes, talk about what you heard God say this morning, and let's talk about this set of Scriptures. Verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Do you know the world wants to play games with your mind and mine, and people go to horror movies and macabre movies that are tearing people apart with chainsaws, and they want to do every ghost thing in the book, and they play up the devil as big as possible. I'm here to tell you that Jesus has conquered it all. Yeah. Don't give yourself to that kind of junk. Fill yourself with faith rather than the garbage of the world. Someone say amen. Therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The enemy can knock you over. He'll try. But having done all, realizing what he's done, realizing you have on the armor of God, stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. How many remember when we talked about the shield of faith? Look it up online, gracechristiancenter.us. Just a couple of months ago, we spent a whole message talking about the shield of faith and what it consists of, how large it was, and the victorious armor that it was. Not just a defensive weapon, but there's a whole knob in the middle of it that shoves the enemy over and gives you the victory. So take a look at that, the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And verse 17 now, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And out of the passion, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. Like a helmet. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all His believers. One verse I want you to hold on to. Again, we said it a bunch this morning. Right out of the Bible, it is 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 16, second half, please read it with me. But we have the mind of Christ. Say it again. But we have the mind of Christ. Though we are engaged in this kind of spiritual warfare, realize and rehearse that Jesus has already won the victory for you. The war is won. We have His provision. Now we make His provision our practice. Amen?
Amen.
Next point, you have the mind of Christ. That sounds familiar this morning, doesn't it? Come on, smile at me, say, that's familiar. The mind of Christ holds to the truth. Come on, say it. Holds to the truth. Tells the truth. Rehearses the truth. Stands for truth. Rejoices in truth. The world celebrates, lives in, and rejoices in lies. The media, it doesn't matter what side it's on, sometimes some sides are always given to lies. Some sides, all sides. You know why? Because it consists of men and women who usually have agendas to serve. And man is given to sin and desperately needs Jesus. Hold to the truth and don't let it go. I said, hold to the truth. And don't let it go. I radically got saved when I was 16 and began to devour the Word of God. I remember as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, being in college, devouring the Word of God. We used to have the Strong's Concordances that were like a 20-pound book, you know. I broke the binding on that baby. I'd carry it with me everywhere I went. I'd look up, what do these words mean? And I'd take my Bible, and I'd tell you, I'd lay in bed at night, and I'd hold it on my chest. And I'd say, oh God, I love your word. I just put it in me, Lord. And even while I sleep at night, let it just work its way into my soul. Hold the word. Don't let it go. We have the mind of Christ. Truth of who he is. What he's done. What you did together this morning. Rehearsing who you are in him. And what he's done for you. And rehearse the truth over and over and over again. Listen, every phase of life, if you want to get good at something, you practice it. Isn't that right? Yeah. Come on. I mean, if you want to be good at track, that's not me, but if you want to be good at track, you run and you run and you run some more. Or you do whatever your thing is. If you want to play basketball, you know, there was a book a few years ago I quoted several times, and it was all about whatever you give yourself to. If you put 10,000 hours into it, you will find success at what you're doing. And he quoted Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, who had at least 10,000 hours into developing their computer system. Michael Jordan playing basketball, and singers, you know, you practice that song until you get the expression of it and the words down and the meaning of it. Until you can hit those notes the way you should. And no matter what the field is, you practice it and you practice it and you practice it. Why do we think it's any different when we come to our walk with God? Oh, I'm saved by grace and I never have to read the Bible. If you're not opening the Bible, you're going to give up your victory right and left, and you won't know how much God loves you, cares for you, and gives you strength. If you're a Christian, be the best Christian you can be, saved by grace, who devours his word daily. Amen. Amen? That's why we do the Bible reading schedules. Thanks, Vern and Pat. Month in, month out. And if you haven't done it all year, pick it up that it is today and start from now. And it only takes about 15, 20 minutes a day. Read something in the Old Testament, read something in New. By the end of the year, you've got the whole Bible read through. Hold the truth. Don't let it go. Rehearse the truth. You have the mind of Christ. I'm going to get real honest now. I want to use an example. How many husbands, when you got married in that service, said, I love you, I do? None of you, I can see. Then let's work on that, fellas. When you did the service, at least at that time, you said, I love you, honey, I really do. Come on, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, let's practice it. I love you, honey, I really do. You may kiss the bride. Now, there you go, keep preaching. I thought the wives might say, preach it, preach it. But listen. If that's the only time you ever told your wife you love her, you're in a world of hurt in your relationship. Amen. You are. I show her every day. We got married in 1962. I show her every day. I don't need to say it again. I'll show you a relationship that no longer exists. Because ladies just like to hear it said. But how many know that the day you said, I do, gentlemen, you weren't a perfect husband? Every hand should go up from the guys. I know you only got two of them, but they should all be up. Listen, you got to practice. And you got to get better. You know why? Because the world's watching. And the Bible says that relationship between you and your spouse is a picture of Christ and his bride. And we're showing the world how Jesus loves his people. Got real quiet in here. So you keep practicing. I'm gonna say something here. Just letting you know I was going to keep opening my mouth. I want to say something very purposely. I think it is literally a tragedy and a travesty that the Me Too movement ever found a need to exist. Because that tells me that men have beat, abused, had affairs on their wives, and mistreated them. And I don't care what occupation you're in. I don't care if there's a casting couch and acting or not. It's an anathema and it's ungodly and it's wicked. And none of those women should have ever been treated like anything else from us in the body of Christ, except for like you'd treat a precious mother or your sister in the Lord. They should be loved and cherished. And that's what Jesus calls us to, men, in the body of Christ, as we love our wives like Jesus loved the church. Somebody ought to be standing up and saying amen. The church ought to be showing the way how to treat one another with the kind of respect and love and grace. It's not based on your wife or the ladies being perfect. It's based on their wonderful creatures and creations of God, ordained by God, and fellow heirs of the body of Christ, fellow heirs of heaven together. The Bible says you are co-inheritors of the grace of life. If you are treating your wife rotten, gentlemen, you need to come up and see me afterwards and say, I'm ready right here, right now, to repent.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. I'll keep going. I was waiting.
Ride that new one more
time. Listen, guys, do I get upset and uptight about this? I believe that's the heart of Jesus. I believe God's heart is broken for how we've treated one another. Now, ladies, you're not off scot-free. Because if you haven't been treating in the other direction with respect and love, that does not excuse you being treated poorly. But each of us should be treating one another with love and grace and covering one another in love. And we're all going to keep growing. Pastor Sherry will be the first in the room saying, my husband ain't perfect. He's still growing. Right, Pastor Sherry?
No, you're perfect.
Oh, no. Well, honey, I know you are. But listen, guys, we're all in this, but the problem is you take a look at the world and they're hurting. And the world is hurting, and the world needs a church that says, we get it. And you're sheltered here, and there's a family here, and there's love here. And if you've been an abuser, thank God repentance is possible and you can change your life. And forgiveness is possible and you can change your life. That doesn't mean things might, you know, in this life, things don't always work out if someone is needed to get away from that kind of thing. We don't believe the Lord has called people to be abused and mistreated and beaten and all of that. And I know what I'm talking about. I grew up with that in my own family. Not my immediate family, the generation above me. I grew up with that. Used to wake up listening to the beatings take place as a little boy and cry and go, oh my God, didn't know Jesus, didn't know what to do. I wanted to go out there and save it all, save my mom. And I wasn't able to, but she was able to. Now listen, there's an end to this story. She was able to find a place of surrender and yieldedness to the Lord. My parents divorced. I didn't see my dad and talk to my dad for 22 years. But that man on his deathbed surrendered finally to Jesus. But 10 years before that, he and mom both found a place where they humbled themselves and asked one another's forgiveness. And she said, I'm sorry for how I treated you. Now listen. And he said, it was all me. And asked her deeply, sincerely to forgive him. And she did. Anything's possible in the Lord. The very first dealing I went through as a 16-year-old boy saved in the middle of revival. First dealing, a month into being saved. Jesus calls me to my knees and I'm heavy in spirit. I don't know what's going on. And he speaks these words as clearly almost as I'm saying to you today. Jesus said, I want you, Kevin, to forgive your dad. And I had a 2.5 hour, an hour and a half, if you will, wrestling match with God because I didn't want to. I ended up in a pool of tears and sweat sitting at this altar in this church, usually overflowing with people in this 1.5 hour window. Nobody was there but me and Jesus. And I ended up in a pool and finally said to the Lord as a broken mess, "You know, I don't want to forgive this man, but because you're telling me to." And I wrestled with God for 1.5 hours. "And you know, I don't want to, but Lord, at your word, I forgive him." You know, sometimes it takes guts to forgive and love to cover and a willingness to be who Jesus wants us to be. Amen. So guys, if you've been involved in anything like that, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to preach it strong and true. So we know we're a shelter for those who are hurting and we can help one another be better. Amen. Anybody in this room think you can be better? A few of you. Okay. I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ rests in peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Out of the New Living, "You'll keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Church, when the world's in chaos and confusion, keep your mind on Christ. Colossians 3, "Set your affection on things above, not on things upon this earth." You know, gosh, you probably are like me. I think it's a tragedy to steal or take children away from their parents. I also think it's wicked to use those children as a gate in illegally, knowing full well as a situation, somebody better take care of us. And I think there's a lot of hurting people. So that's why I'm not out there on the streets picketing. I'm here in the church and out there on the streets preaching Jesus, because the only answer is Jesus in the heart of each person. But when the world's in chaos and confusion, and instead of worrying, is it going to overrun me? As a believer, please remember one thing. The Bible tells us, watch these verses. "I have inscribed you," out of the NIV, "engraved you on the palms of my hands." If you think that Jesus doesn't see you and know you and care, the Bible tells you right here, you are etched into the palms of Jesus' hands. He loves you so much. Are you glad? So when the world is full of confusion and chaos, we don't have to go that way. Some are troubled in soul and mind. I want to urge you this morning, put on the helmet of salvation. I want to urge you to remember this morning, you have the mind of Christ. No matter any of the issues we've talked about this morning, if you're guilty, repent. Ask him to forgive you. If you need prayer, come for prayer. We've got people who love to pray for you. The heart of God is this next verse. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Would you stand with me, please? We're going to have you all stand. I want you all to raise your hands. And I want you to receive the peace, the presence, the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, to keep me and you in his presence. And I want you to know he's the God who does all things well. He sees you right now. Come on, raise your hands. Lord, together we come to you. And we stand in this family today, the family of God, thanking you for your grace and your mercy, your loving kindness and your good news. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say it with me. I am clean by the blood of Jesus. I repent of every sin. I acknowledge those sins. I surrender to you. Where I haven't treated others right, I repent of that. And I receive your forgiveness now. I receive your mercy now. I receive your cleansing blood now. And I thank you that I am clean. And I have the mind of Christ. Lay hands on your own head again. Lord, thank you that I have the mind of Christ. So, church, let's continue to declare the truth. I have the mind of Christ. Amen. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart, there's something that you know you need Him to do that hasn't happened yet, I just want to remind you, He is right here for you, and so are we. We love you and we enjoy praying for you. And I'm going to declare a song as we go back out today that I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. The army of the Lord, that's who you are, cleaned by the blood of Jesus, standing in victory with the mind of Christ because He loves you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then we're going to pray the blessing of the Lord upon you as we close. How many believe God has spoken something to you this morning that's worthwhile for you to have come to church and been here? Amen. God knows, He sees, and He's got good things in mind for us.